All right, welcome back to Sports Central. We're going to talk some Penn State football recruiting right now. Sean Myers from NittanySportsNow.com. Sean, what's going on with you, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Beautiful day here in western Pennsylvania where I am, and I'm guessing all across the state. So I'm enjoying some sun, and it feels like summer right now.
Yeah, get out and enjoy it, man. It's 90 degrees, May 20th. June is right around the corner. The NCAA recruiting dead period has been going on for a long time, well over a year. How big is the impact that the dead period is about to end at the end of this month? Penn State will have a bunch of kids coming on campus for official visits in June. Just how big is this for college athletics after such an extended dead period?
I think massive all across the board, like you said, but to sort of narrow the focus, it seems like it's even more significant for Penn State because we know last year was not a good year for the Nittany Lions recruiting. And I think a lot of people who really follow recruiting closely said they were one of the schools most affected by not being able to get these kids on campus, because that's sort of a great appeal when, you know, players or prospective players go to these whiteout games. For instance, I remember even back when I unify them, and then about 2 or 3 months later, they were committed. So it seems like getting kids on campus at Penn State even more than some other schools. But admit who have never even been on campus, that's not easy. And while some of them, you know, could turn out to be great players, I think what you're also going to see is those players in the class of 2021, there's going to be a lot of kids who decommit because they never really got to have the full experience going through recruiting and visiting these campuses. So they were making an educated decision, but maybe without all the facts that they would normally get. I think that June is going to be absolutely massive for college football, and again, for Penn State in particular, because with the number of talented kids they're going to have on campus, some of whom who have never been to state college. Now, there's a few of these players that they were on the radar back when they were in ninth grade, maybe 10th grade, got to come up and see the campus then before COVID. But for a number of them, especially the fast risers who have been sort of national recruits over the past year or so, probably have never been to state college. And just seeing that and seeing the environment, even when it's in the summer, not during a game day, I think will still leave a lasting impression.
Sean Myers covers recruiting for Nittany Sports Now. And James Franklin talked about several times last year, and look, folks, these are his words. This isn't my Penn State's kind of in the middle of nowhere. Penn State is not a destination place. You're not just driving on the highway and then you see Penn State and say, hey, I want to pull over there and see what it's all about. You have to make a concerted effort to get to state college. Wherever you are, if you're in Philly, hell, if you're in Altoona, you've got to make a concerted effort if you want to get there. How much impact do you think that had along the lines of what you're talking about? It's just that kids, if they want to drive past Ohio State, they can drive through Columbus. If they want to drive past a lot of other schools, they can drive through a city. State College, to quote Terrell Pryor, that place is too country for me.
Yeah, it's sort of a disadvantage in some regards. Now, I think it also depends on some players love that that's the type of environment. Other ones, you know, they want a big city type feel.
Yep.
That being said, again, the big thing is you're going to get these kids on campus in many cases for the first time, and it's for official visits, which means that, you know, they don't have to spend money out of their own pocket to make the trek, because we know Penn State has really expanded to Florida, to Texas, to California, to Georgia, all over. And so it's maybe not that hard for kids in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or Maryland or Virginia to make the trip on their own dime. But it is certainly a lot different when kids are coming from halfway across the country. So now that these official visits will be back with the dead period concluding, it really gives them a chance to get players from all over the country. And we know that that's sort of their goal, is to be able to recruit players from all over the country. This is a big step in doing that.
Roughly how many kids are going to make an official visit to Penn State next month? And the list, they just keeps growing and growing, but it's a sizable number, right?
Yeah, I think you check back in another week and there might be another five names on there, but I think it's surpassing 30. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets up to about 50. Now, keep in mind, those are official visits.
Yeah.
And so each player is allotted five official visits, but they can come back any number of times with unofficial visits. And I think you'll see a lot of that during the season. Probably once Penn State, you know, finalizes their schedule. And I know that they're going to be playing some marquee games. Obviously, a lot of talk about the night game against Auburn and Michigan. You're going to see a lot of recruits make the visit then as well. Maybe not in an official capacity, but it seems like all these players who've wanted to tour these campuses and use their official visits that have sort of been shut out during the dead period, they're not wasting any time. As soon as June 1st hits, they're going to be utilizing those OVs to Penn State. So, again, I would not be surprised if it gets up close to about 50 different players. And I think out of that group, there's probably at least a dozen that you would say are absolute priorities for Penn State, probably the top at their respective positions in James Franklin's eyes.
And you mentioned last year, Sean Myers joining us, not a great recruiting year for Penn State. Not terrible. They were 21st in the 247 sports rankings. This year for class 2022, they're number six. In your eyes, as somebody who really has a good feel for what recruiting can lead to on-field success, what's the difference between having a number 21 class and having a number six class in terms of what we think Penn State may be able to accomplish on the field with those guys?
Well, the number six might sound familiar because that was what the class of 2018 turned out to be. And I've gone back and analyzed that. I know a lot of people who follow recruiting have looked at some of the players who haven't turned out well from that class. But you look at the guys who did pan out from that group, and you think of Parsons and Freiermuth and Dotson and all the incredible talent. I think you just give yourself a lot better odds when you bring in so many marquee guys, four-star and five-star talent, that even if you miss on a few of them, there's going to be enough hits in that group. Whereas you bring in a lot of three-stars like we saw last year, some of them may hit, but it's probably not going to be the same percentage as you would get with the four and five-stars. The other thing to consider is that number is affected drastically by how many players are in the class. And Penn State took a smaller class last year. So had the Nittany Lions taken another five guys, they would have been much higher. So ultimately, while they might be six right now, it depends on will they sign 18 guys, will they sign 25 guys. That will have a major impact in where they rank overall. But I think there's no doubt that the quality has been a lot better this year. Even if the quantity ends up being similar to last year, the quality certainly, to this juncture at least, far surpasses 2021.
All right. I'll admit that I'm probably wrong in what I'm about to say because this is the changing times and this is just the way things are. But it bothers me, and I don't care if I'm wrong. You follow this stuff a lot closer than I do. But I wrote something a couple days ago. Penn State has sent out three scholarship offers since January to kids in eighth grade. Three. They've offered three eighth grade kids a college football scholarship. Last September, they offered a seventh grade kid. I think that's pathetic, Sean. I think it's ridiculous. I'm a 47-year-old man. I'm yelling at clouds here. I know nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares how the sausage is made. Just make the damn sausage and go win football games. But giving scholarship offers to eighth graders used to be a big deal. 10, 15 years ago, that's national news. Some major program gives an offer to an eighth. Now, everybody does it. How did we get to that point?
Well, I'll say right off the bat, I agree with you to an extent. I think junior high is a little too young. I would say, okay, most people, you look at a player, once they complete their freshman football year of high school, I think that's probably okay. You know, you wait until December of their freshman year. That feels a little bit more normal because you've actually seen them play at a varsity level. But it's sort of one team does it, so if other teams don't do it, they're going to fall behind. And I think that there's, especially everyone thinks of how aggressive the SEC teams are. If they get a scholarship offer to a kid in eighth grade, and obviously you're projecting a lot, but a lot of times they have a pretty good idea. This guy's going to turn out to be a marquee player a five-star type talent. So many players, when they make a commitment, they reference the relationship and long-standing relationships. Well, it's hard to compete with a team that's been recruiting a kid for 5 years.
Sure.
When you're maybe in the mix for 1 year. And so I think that's why everyone's excited to get a head start. And ultimately, if the kid does not turn out to be as good as you anticipated, you don't have to necessarily take his commitment. A lot of times coaches will extend an offer and say, this is not committable at this point. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of revisit. So in that sense, there might not be a harm in getting in early.
Sure.
But I sort of agree with you. I would rather see them play 1 year of high school varsity football. So wait until they complete their ninth grade season. I think that's, again, I don't know how a coach goes and recruits potentially a 13 to 14 year old.
Hey, Sean, give it 10 years and you're offering fifth graders. Give it 5 or 6 years. Seriously, I'm not joking, because you hit that nail on the head. This is about starting the process, starting the relationship. You want to get involved with the kid and with mom and dad as quick. So, really, what's the difference between fifth grade? Seriously, am I completely outrageous to think that some fifth grade kid is going to get offered a football scholarship before too long?
Truthfully, I don't even know. That might have already happened.
Yeah, right,
I would not
right.
be shocked. Anything basketball, sort of the same too. And I think basketball, it's even easier to sort of project future
yeah.
superstars.
Because if you've got some fifth grader who's already 6'2" and dad is
right.
6'9", yeah, that's much more easily projectable.
Yeah, I truthfully, part of me thinks that there probably has been a fifth grader, at least in one of those two sports that has been offered. And yeah, it's trending that direction. And again, the difficult part is, if you're a parent, is that a turnoff? Would you rather say, we don't even want to consider this until we get into high school? So sometimes maybe a coach's aggressiveness could backfire in that regard. You kind of have to get a feel for the family, and that's mm-hmm. when you talk to coaches. And I guess at this point you're talking maybe not even to the high school coaches, but the junior high coaches, things of that nature. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy, and to your point, I don't think the trend is going to reverse anytime soon, certainly.
Check out Sean Myers' recruiting coverage at NittanySportsNow.com. Thanks, buddy. Always enjoy catching up with you. Good insight, man.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Sean.